From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Arrowgate, full out. Can he stick with him? California Chrome. Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Ali Dar and Affirmed battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Ali Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Ali Dar heads apart. Affirmed's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Derby winner by Annette Bird, closing a late gap, but it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you this morning, operating from my home studio. Well, my producer, Lee
Delatina, is in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, continuing to practice safe social distancing here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and very happy to have all of you with me for the next couple of hours, whether you're tuned in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or you're listening digitally at horseracingradio.net. If the audio sounds a little goofy here this morning, we're working through a couple of technical issues. Again, some challenges working from home with doing this remotely, but hey, that's okay. It's Florida Derby Day, by the way. So happy Florida Derby Day, and want to wish everybody a very safe and healthy Florida Derby Day. I know for some people this is the last thing on their minds, but for horse racing fans, this is the big deal of the weekend. And, please stay safe, please stay healthy with your families out there, and stay home if you can. This afternoon, the road to the first Saturday in September. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying that with hopes that eventually I'll get used to it by the time we get there. The road to the first Saturday in September winds through South Florida today with the 69th running of the Florida Derby, sponsored by Hillendale Stallion Curlin. And if you're wondering about the countdown to the Kentucky Derby, I'll give it to you. 161 days, 10 hours, 47 minutes, and 7 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, which will again be contested Labor Day weekend here in 2020. At least we hope. That's the plan right now. We hope that it will be contested Labor Day weekend. But what a day it is at Gulfstream today. 14 races. First post, 11:30 Eastern. 10 stakes. 6 of those are graded. You have the mandatory Rainbow Six payout, $1.6 million carryover going into today's card. And I'm going to talk with Billy Badgett, who is the Stronach Group Director of Florida Racing Operations. I'll talk to him at 8:15 after our first commercial break. He'll fill you in on what the program's all about. And Billy's going to talk about some of the things that Gulfstream has done in light of the COVID-19 outbreak in order to stay open. And should they be open? There was talk earlier this week, there was an article that came out actually, that said that Gulfstream maybe shouldn't be racing. That coming from officials down in Hallandale Beach, Florida. I'll get a chance to talk to Billy about all of those things coming up at 8:15. In terms of the Florida Derby itself, it's going to be run as race number 14, post time of 6:36 Eastern. We're going to have coverage of that, by the way, this afternoon on the network, presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Our coverage, myself and Bobby Newman, going to bring it your way, 5:30 Eastern, 5:30 to 7. It includes the Grade 2 Pan American and the Grade 3 Appleton. You can listen on Sirius 219, XM 201, and various affiliates across the country. Of course, you can tune in on our website, too. You can always stream us every time we're on at horseracingradio.net. A field of 12 going in that Florida Derby. The ultra-talented New York-bred Tis the Law is once again back in the spotlight as the 6-5 morning line favorite. He makes his first start since winning his 3-year-old debut in the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream 8 weeks ago. You'll hear from trainer Barkley Tagg at 9:20 Eastern this morning. Barkley took time to talk with Bobby Newman and Anthony Stabile on our Red Brand radio show this past week. You'll get a chance to hear from him and his thoughts on Tis the Law and the change in schedule. How has this affected what they do at Tis the Law? And is it more frustrating for Barkley, considering the fact that he has the horse that many people consider to be the favorite for the Kentucky Derby, sitting here on March 28th? Is it more frustrating to have the Derby moved back? But it had to be. But is it more frustrating for a guy like Barkley Tagg and those connections? So that's 9:20 Eastern. The main competition for Tis the Law is expected to come likely from two rivals in particular. Independence Hall, who tasted defeat for the first time on February 8th in the Sam F. Davis Stakes at Tampa Bay Downs. He's third choice on the morning line at 9-2 behind Ette Endion, the Fountain of Youth winner, who is going to be ridden once again by jockey Florent Giroux. And I'll get a chance to talk to Florent at 8:35 Eastern. What a month it's been for Florent. A couple of months, really. Going back to the Risen Star Stakes when he won that race with Mr. Monomoy. Then he takes the Fountain of Youth with Ette Endion. Comes back with Bonnie South to win the Fairgrounds Oaks last weekend. And right back with Wells Bayou to win the Louisiana Derby. He's on a roll. And I'll talk to Florent coming up 8:35 Eastern time. Don't miss that interview. Three-time Florida Derby winner and Hall of Famer Edgar Prado is going to be with me at 9 o'clock. Now, Edgar was scheduled to ride Soros in today's Florida Derby, but Soros ran yesterday at Gulfstream. He finished fifth in an allowance race, so he will not go to the post, which does mean, by the way, for those of you that are handicapping at home and getting ready for the big carryover and the mandatory payout, Rogue Element, the maiden from the barn of Dale Romans, drew into the field for the Florida Derby today. He was the only one on the also eligible list. He is now in with the scratch of Soros. So Edgar Prado is going to be with me. And Edgar, first of all, one of the classiest guys that you're going to find in the sport of thoroughbred racing. On Wednesday, he moved into a tie with fellow Hall of Famer Angel Cordero Jr. for eighth on the all-time wins list. He won his 7,057th career race. At least, anyway, Edgar, and everyone else for that matter, believed he had equaled Cordero. But there's plenty more to that story, and Edgar will be here to talk with me again, 9 o'clock. Bobby Newman will be with me at 9:40 Eastern time. Again, Bobby and I will bring you that coverage of the Florida Derby beginning at 5:30 Eastern, and he'll handicap the Derby and some of the big races preceding the Florida Derby today. So stay tuned for that segment toward the end of the show at 9:40. He'll also be here with your Calling All Three-Year-Old segments presented by Spendthrift. And we'll have our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. All of that coming up over the course of a very busy 2 hours here this morning. If you go to our HRN website, this is kind of a cool thing, a little bit separate from what we've been talking about. Well, by the way, before I get to that, let me just mention this one thing very quickly, because I think it's very important. Santa Anita, if you missed it, came out yesterday and mentioned that they would have to suspend horse racing temporarily. Don't know what temporarily means. Don't know for how long. I don't know if that, I would assume it likely puts the Santa Anita Derby next Saturday into question. And they did this on the recommendations of the health department in California. And look, it's a no-brainer. They had to do it. So for now, Santa Anita has suspended their racing operations. Earlier this week, jockey Javier Castellano posted a tweet, and he was talking about the fact that he has indeed tested positive for the coronavirus. And here's his tweet. I'm going to read it verbatim. Javier said, "After being in New York with family last week, I was asked by Gulfstream to come early to Florida to get tested for the virus. I was asymptomatic all along. Unfortunately, the test came back last night as positive. I am otherwise healthy, but will follow the doctor's orders to quarantine for the next 2 weeks. I have had no known contact with anyone that has tested positive. I appreciate the support from everyone, including Gulfstream Park. Stay safe, everyone, and we will all get through this, God willing." And I texted with Javier And he did say he's doing just fine. He got back to me last night. He's feeling fine. Everything's on track. And he's just hoping to get past this sooner rather than later. But we wish Javier and everyone who is suffering with that virus all of the best here this morning from everyone, from myself and everyone as part of our HRN team. All right. So I started to get into this. That if you go to our HRN website, horseracingradio.net, now I'll start this way. If you've ever wondered who might win a race, these are all kind of cool things. If you ever wondered who might win a race that included Secretariat, Seattle Slew, Spectacular Bid, Affirmed American Pharaoh, and so many other legendary thoroughbreds. Well, you're going to get a chance to find out. Because with no Kentucky Derby this year on the first Saturday in May anyway, we decided that we just couldn't let that day go by without a broadcast here on HRN. So on Saturday, May 2nd, we'll bring you exclusive coverage of the first ever HRRN Fantasy Derby. It's all going to start at 5 o'clock Eastern, and it promises to be the greatest field ever assembled for any race in the history of the sport. And here's the best part. The coolest thing about this is that you help determine who makes the field and who wins the Fantasy Derby. And you do that by voting for your all-time favorite Kentucky Derby winners. All you have to do is go to horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby. That's horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby to cast your votes today. And you just email them to me. But all the details are listed there on our website. So head over there, check out that page, and start voting now. You have until this coming Friday to cast your vote. And let us know the horses you feel, number one, should make the field. And number two, the horses in order you feel should win the Fantasy Derby. And it's a star-studded field. I mentioned some of those names. There are several others that are receiving votes. I mean, horses like Sunday Silence and Smarty Jones and, you know, Thunder Gulch. I mean, there have been some really top-notch horses, obviously, to win the Kentucky Derby. But we're going to pit them all against each other. A full field of 20, full broadcast, first Saturday in May. It's the HRN Fantasy Derby. So head over there now and check it out. All right, poll question for this morning. Going to keep it simple this morning. Who wins today's Florida Derby? Or we'll put it this way. Who are you taking to win today's Florida Derby? Give you four choices. The three favorites, Tis the Law, Independence Hall, Ete Endion, or Other. And if you choose Other, please specify. Let us know who you think is a potential upsetter in that Florida Derby today. So who are you taking to win today's Florida Derby? Tis the Law, Independence Hall, Ete Endion, or Other. And you can do that at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Going to get to a break. I'll come back, kick things off with Billy Badgett, the director of Florida Racing Operations for the Stronach Group. He'll talk about everything happening with racing at Gulfstream Park. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Unanimous champion 2-year-old and 3-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to 8 times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Bred on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharaoh, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, ride the rails in Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Eddie Woods is a perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple graded stakes winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and 4 champions. Recent stars include undefeated 3-year-old stakes winner Cafe Pharaoh in Japan.
They're going to be Cafe Pharaoh starting to stretch out. We'll be 2 for 2.
And the talented Todd Fletcher-trained Kentucky Derby prospect, Gouverneur Morris.
Gouverneur Morris on the outside. He strikes to the lead.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Dance Colony is charging on the outside as they come to the top of the stretch. And here comes Stella Madrid, forging to the front on the outside. Set down for the drive, and Stella Madrid takes the lead. Special happening, Allegri second. Go for Wanda Tex on the outside. Here comes Go for Wanda, and colors Stella Madrid with the 16th to come, and she's going to win it. She's going to win it, going away. Go for Wand comes bounding home to a three-length win. And Sweet Roberta was up for second and farther back. Stella Madrid was third. In a little tight as they moved into the first turn, Randy Romero got her out of trouble down the back stretch and unleashed a powerful run to win the Breeders' Cup for Juvenile Fillies.
Tom Durkin with the call. That was the 1989 running of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, the great Go for Wand, part of her stellar career, trained by Billy Badgett. And Billy is now in a position where he is doing a lot of things with Florida Racing, including acting as the director of Florida Racing Operations for the Stronach Group. He was set to join us here on this program right now, but had to cancel. Just got notification of that. He had to cancel. He is actually heading into an emergency meeting with the city manager. And I told you that this is a very fluid situation down at Gulfstream Park. Again, the Florida Derby scheduled to be run this afternoon. The last race on a really good 14-race program. But earlier this week, it came out that Broward County officials were not necessarily in favor of Gulfstream staying open. And the city could handle any kind of enforcement and any kind of penalties against Gulfstream Park. As a matter of fact, there is a quote in the article from Rick Barrick, who is Broward County's Assistant Director of Public Communications. And he said that they do not fit into the essential category listed in the executive order. They should not be open. Any enforcement would be handled by the city that they are located. And he's not just talking about specifically Gulfstream, but businesses in general with that executive order. And Gulfstream is still scheduled to run today. So I was hoping to talk to Billy about that. Obviously, with him going into a meeting now with the city manager, there are still ongoing conversations, even the morning of the Florida Derby. But there's, look, Gulfstream really wants to get this card in today. Obviously, they have the mandatory payout into the Rainbow Six. They have all of the unbelievable stakes races carded, and of course that Florida Derby. But I think when you're talking about a global health pandemic, some of those things kind of have to take a back seat. And that's not going to be a popular sentiment with a lot of our listeners who are in the horse business necessarily. But I really do. I think you have to take a long look at that and say, what are we doing here? Every other major sport has said, no, 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 we can't do that. Look at baseball. Baseball may not come back until July. Major League Baseball may not start until July. Maybe. I saw something yesterday. Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN was on talking about the football season this year. The college football season. The NFL seasons. There's no guarantee they're going to even have a season this year, let alone start on time. Same thing with the Kentucky Derby, September 5th. That's optimistic, and I hope it happens. Believe me, I do. I'd love to see us get back to normality. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, it's horse racing. It's what we do. We love it. It's our business. It's our life. It's our passion. But sometimes there's bigger things to consider. And I got a feeling that Billy is going to be having that conversation right now with the city manager. So anyways, my thanks to Billy for attempting to be with us here this morning. He was excited to join us and talk about that. Let's talk about the positives. That program today is absolutely loaded with quality. It is an unbelievable program. 14 races. I mentioned all of the stakes, and then, what is it, 10 stakes races and 6 graded stakes races. And that $1.6 million carryover is really going to take things to another level. I mentioned that Barkley Tag has the morning line favorite, Tis the Law, and maybe the favorite for the Kentucky Derby right now, 6-5 morning line favorite. But Independence Hall, who is owned in part by Aaron Wellman and his Eclipse Thoroughbred partners, was undefeated going into the Sam F. Davis. He finished second that day. Wasn't embarrassed. They learned an awful lot about Independence Hall that day. And earlier this week, Aaron took time to catch up with Bobby Newman on our Red Brand radio show. And here's what he had to say in that conversation about Independence Hall.
We learned a lot about him, actually. A few things went wrong that were slightly out of our control. First, he lost his tongue tie in the warm-ups, which didn't do him any favors. But a little bit more substantively, he lost his right front shoe coming out of the gate. So he basically ran that entire race in the Sam Davis on 3 shoes with no right front shoe. So those are excuses that don't really matter now, but they are some things that obviously we'll do everything in our power to control next time. But, you know, I think it's the ultimate what have you done for me lately game we play here. And if you really sit back and digest to Sam Davis, it was a pretty darn good race. He chased a very hot pace on the occasion. He was the only man left standing that was anywhere close to that pace and still kicked on. And he got beat on the square by a horse who came from way out of it and had a good trip in Sol Volante, who came back and ran a very good race in the Tampa Bay Derby. So they were way, way clear of the third place runner. And by all accounts, we think it was a very, very good race. Obviously, when you're 3-for-3, you've won those races by a combined 20-some-odd lengths, and you're odds on in the Sam Davis, you want to take care of business, and it's disappointing not to win. But at the same time, we walked away from Tampa feeling as though we might have lost that battle, but we're still in a position to win the war.
Independence Hall, for those folks who use speed ratings or maybe sheets, he was faster than basically anybody at that time of year. And in fact, his numbers in both the Nashua and the Jerome still probably faster than any other three-year-old has run this far. So what led to the decision to skip the Tampa Bay Derby and wait for the Florida Derby instead?
So the partnership group, which consists of Twin Creeks, Randy Goulat, Steve Davison, as well as the Verratis, and of course Mike Trombetta at the helm, we all huddled up after the Sam Davis, and the Tampa Bay Derby was on our radar, but it was still coming back a bit quick, and it would have meant that he would have run a bunch of races in a pretty short period of time had we opted for 2 other preps prior to the Derby, including the Tampa Bay Derby. Twin Creeks folks and Eclipse have been down this path before, going the Tampa route with Destin, who won the Sam Davis and the Tampa Bay Derby, and Eclipse as well with Tappert, who won the Tampa Bay Derby. And the timing of that race makes it a little difficult to determine whether you should just ride it out and train up to the Derby or have another prep. And both those colts ended up running okay in the Derby, ran very well in the Belmont. But with Independence Hall, we really wanted to try to make the right move for the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, all hell has broken loose since, and now the Derby's in September, so that kind of nixed all our plans. But really what it boiled down to was spacing and the fact that the Florida Derby is a grade one on a racetrack that should play to Independence Hall's strengths. His sire, Constitution, won the Florida Derby. His dam sire, Cape Town, won the Florida Derby. And if Independence Hall was fortunate enough to pull off a victory come Saturday in the Florida Derby, it would be a huge feather in his cap and really enhance his potential as a stallion prospect.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. Wishing you nothing but the best, not only in the Kirtland Florida Derby this Saturday, but going forward with Independence Hall. And let's hope that he gets a good trip, that all the equipment works the way it's supposed to this time, and we get to see the real Independence Hall.
Appreciate it, Bobby, and you and everybody out there. Just stay safe and healthy.
Boy, if you don't think that the connections of these horses spend countless hours calculating and planning their approach to picking out these races, just listen to what Aaron Wellman had to say about the decision to go to the Florida Derby. He got into the pedigree of Independence Hall. He got into the timing of the race. Of course, that was when they thought the Derby was likely going to be run on the first Saturday of May. At least they were hoping it was. And then he got into the track surface, a surface that he felt would benefit Independence Hall and that he would handle. And the grade of the race being a grade one. That's a big deal. When you're talking about potentially having a horse that could go on to be a stallion, winning that grade one and taking your shot on a racetrack that you feel he can handle, that's paramount. Winning a grade one is a huge deal when you start looking at the stallion prospects for these horses. Barkley Tagg talked about that with Tis the Law. And again, you're going to hear from Barkley coming up later, but one of the things that he talks about is the fact that when he went down this road, the Triple Crown Road, and he won it, the Derby and Preakness with Funnyside. Funnyside was a gelding. They didn't have any of the inquiries that they're getting with Tis the Law as a stallion prospect. That's a whole new game, and Barkley admits that. This is all different. And look, Barkley Tagg has had unbelievable horses in the past, but this is different. This is a horse that is the favorite for the Kentucky Derby on March 28th, in most people's opinions and in most future books. And he's not a gelding like Funnyside. So things are different for Barkley and that team. Again, Barkley's interview comes up at 9:20 Eastern. Coming up in the next segment, you're going to hear from jockey Florent Giroux, who is En Fuego. He'll ride Ete Endayan in the Fountain of Youth coming up later, the Fountain of Youth winner in the Florida Derby later today. And then three-time Florida Derby winner and Hall of Famer Edgar Prado will be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk about, allegedly tying the great Angel Cordero for 8th on the all-time wins list this past Wednesday. And I say allegedly because there is much more to that story, and looking forward to talking with Edgar coming up here at 9 o'clock. You know, they call Edgar Prado the attorney. His fellow jockeys call him the attorney because he is always so dapper when he shows up at the jocks room, and then he'll put on his glasses, and he looks so studious when he does it. And quite often they'll call him the attorney because he kind of looks like an attorney when he shows up to work, and if for some reason a jockey needs to go watch movies with the stewards, as they call it, for an infraction, Edgar is often there to support the young riders. He may need to talk to an attorney about this situation coming up with his equaling of Angel Cordero Jr. I'm looking forward to that visit at 9 o'clock. And then, of course, we'll handicap all the big races at 9:40 Eastern time with Bobby Newman. Our coverage of the Florida Derby, 5:30 Eastern, presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA, 5:30 to 7. You can listen Sirius 219, XM 201, affiliates across the country, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All right, going to get now to our Lexus Legends of the Turf. It's brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. When I come back, Florent Giroux is in the saddle. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On October 27, 1974, at Woodbine in suburban Toronto, Canada, the 37th running of the Canadian International Championship Stakes over the testing distance of 13 furlongs was the feature race on the card. There were better than 25,000 fans on hand in typically resplendent autumn weather, with the foliage appearing as though Mother Nature had reached down with tender tendrils to paint the countryside in the splendiferous golden hues of the season. There was a young lady in the field who had already chalked up stakes scores in four different countries and was bidding to become the very first ever to have won stakes in five different countries. She was an elegant, lovely, statuesque young lady who simply exuded class, looked every bit the part, and she was a Kentucky bred. She was by Vaguely Noble out of Charming Alibi by Honey's Alibi, and was racing in the silks of Nelson Bunker Hunt. She had won the Prix Yacoulef in France at two. At three, she had scored in the Irish Guinness Oaks, the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes in England, and the Prix Saint-Alary, the Prix de la Grotte, and the Prix Nier in France. And further, she had humiliated an outstanding field of international runners in the Washington, D.C. International, an invitational at Laurel Park in Maryland. At four, her age at the time of the event being recapitulated, she had won stakes in three countries, the Grand Prix de la Saint-Cloud in France, the King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, and the Benson and Hedges Gold Cup in England, and the Man of War Stakes right here in America. She was already a thoroughbred millionaireess, and this race, if she won it, would add another $91,000-plus to her already most imposing bankroll. She went postwards in this race at odds on, 85 cents to the dollar. Her bevy of backers were not the least bit disappointed with her effort this day. On a firm grass course, she toted her 123-pound impost to front-running fractions of 47-1 for a half, 137-3 for a mile, and a final time of 2:40 for the 1 5/8 miles, while winning with veritable ease. She had in the process clipped a full second off the course record for the distance set by Axe in 1963, and she went the distance in 1 4/5 seconds faster than Secretariat had done just the year before in his winning effort. She had become the world's leading money-winning distaffer and had pulled off something never done before in the entire illustrious annals of thoroughbred racing history. She won stakes races in five different countries: England, Ireland, France, America, and now Canada. She did have a nemesis, a la Noor to Citation, or affirmed to Aladar. That horse was named Ale France. The latter defeated our subject for this piece on all six occasions when they met over three racing seasons. Her lifetime statistics, 12 wins and 23 trips to the post, with composite earnings of better than $1,200,000, this classy lassie who personified elegance, grace, poise, and stature on the racetrack, who firmly planted her hoofmarks in the pages of Cronald racing history with capital letters and capped off a marvelous career with that win at Woodbine, October 27, 1974, was the great Dahlia.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and Historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They come down to the final 16th with Florent Giroux. It's Mr. Monomoy. Mr. Monomoy leads them home in the first division of the Risen Star Stakes 1/3.
Inside the final 16th of the Phasic Tipton Fountain of Youth, and it's all about Biancone. It's all about Ette Indian, who wins stylishly by 6 or 7.
They come past the 16th. It's Bonnie South up to take the lead for Florent Giroux. In the TwinSpires.com Fairgrounds Oaks, it's Bonnie South who bounced home by 2.5. Wells Bayou, who's still finding, leads by 3 to New York Traffic. Bottleness is a one-piece third. Major Fed, Enforceable takes toward the inside, but it's Wells Bayou. Wells Bayou and New York Traffic. Wells Bayou to win the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, operating remotely, practicing safe social distancing here this morning, coming to you from my home studio. Our producer, Lee Delapina, is in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, doing his best to make me sound good this morning, and I would say doing one heck of a job. Has any jockey been hotter over the course of the past couple of months than jockey Florent Giroux? I don't know. He's winning every big race that we have in the sport today. And you heard that little montage. It started with Mr. Monomoy and the Risen Star. Ette Endeon came back and won the Fountain of Youth. Bonnie South took the Fairgrounds Oaks and Wells Bayou, the Louisiana Derby, in back-to-back fashion at Fairgrounds last Saturday. And I have the privilege now of welcoming Florent to the program. Florent, good morning, my friend.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
Thanks for taking some time. Hey, what's the secret to this hot streak that you're on?
Very easy, good horses.
Come on, it's a pretty good... You got to have some kind of chemistry, though, don't you?
A little bit, but I mean, I think it's just what kind of opportunity, you know, people are offering you, to be honest, you know. But none of that, you know, when you don't have pressure, you know, for some of the people, maybe sometimes you can make a decision who are the winning one, but... You know, with Brad, you know, we're making a good team, and I don't have any pressure, you know, from him. He just give me free rein pretty much every time, and worked out good, you know. And he was a trainer who gave me also some nice horses like Patrick and some other guys. I mean, same thing. They just give me free rein, and I think it's a big plus as a jockey to do what, you know, don't think about it too much. Just let you do your thing.
Yeah, let's start with, you mentioned Patrick Biancone and Ete Endean going to the post later today in the Florida Derby. So let's start there, and then we'll talk about what happened last weekend at the fairgrounds, which was a special day for you. But Ete Endean's a horse that you won the Fountain of Youth on last time. You were aboard him for the very first time in that race. First of all, share your thoughts on that performance.
It was very impressive. I thought he had a good chance, you know, to win it that day. And I think he did a little more than I was expecting him to do. You know, with the final margin and just how easily, you know, he drew away from the competition. Because, you know, that day he was drawing the far outside, and he was able to cross over, you know, fairly easy. And after that, you know, it was, like I said, you know, it was pretty impressive.
Did you know that you were going to be on the lead with him that day, or did it just happen?
No, I think it just happened. You know, I was definitely thinking about pulling him forward. But after that, you know, I'm not going to try to make the lead just to make the lead and get the horse tired at the end, you know. It's just really how it unfolded, you know. So my game plan was trying to put him forward and get some kind of position. And when I end up on the lead, you know, I just took it. It just went from there.
Now, in that race, you broke kind of from the outside going a mile on the 16th.
Yeah.
It was post position 10, so you were outside that day. You're outside again today with Ete Endean. Mile and an eighth at Gulfstream. We always hear that that can be a challenge. How come?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a very big big wide turns. You know, there's not, you know, much stretch. So the turns, you know, are a little bit longer than some other racetrack compared, you know, like to the Fairgrounds. Fairgrounds is a very long stretch and short, tight turn. Churchill is the same thing too, you know, long stretch and tight turns. That's why, you know, when you come in into the turn, you know, that's why most of the people are trying to get, you know, secure, you know, a nice spot, you know, on the inside, because after that you can get flooded pretty wide, you know. So
when you go into the starting gate today and you're out there on the outside again with this horse, obviously the break is always important no matter what post position you have. But without giving away your whole strategy, Flo, what's the mindset as you walk into the gate?
Same thing. You know, he's outside again. There's a few scratches, you know, actually today. So he's going to read us the film. So I'm a little bit closer than, you know, number 12, I guess. I'm number 8 nowadays. 4 scratches here today.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's closer, but I have an extra 16 of a mile to walk with too, you know. So last time it was a mile 16. Last time he drew the 11, was a mile 16. This time he has the 12. But, you know, now he has the 8, and it's a mile 8. So same, you know, set of mind, you know, just break sharp. And like I said, you know, if you make the lead, fine. If not, you know, he's just going to be in stopping position. But definitely got the game going the first 16 of a mile, for sure.
I mentioned that last time in the Fountain of Youth was the first time you were aboard Ete Endean. What did you learn in that race, Flo, that maybe even helps you when you go to the post with him later today?
Actually, I breathed in 3 times in the morning, 3 or 4 times already. He's a very cool horse to go, you know. He's a very... he's a great mover too. He's pretty easy, you know. He has like good tactical speed, which helps a lot, you know, especially those big races when they can put you forward, you know, out of trouble right away. It's a big plus because some of those horses, you know, are still learning. You know, they are, you know, young 3-year-old, and some of them are still a little bit, you know, immature sometimes. And sometimes between horses, they can get, you know, a little bit scared, and sometimes, you know, they do things. Not necessarily the jockey wants to, but him, you know, he just, I don't need to worry about that. You know, he put himself good forward, and he's very professional, so he's a pretty neat horse.
Talking with jockey Florent Giroux here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, he has won 1,566 races in his career, and it seems like he's winning every big race with every good horse that he sits on these days. Let's go back to last weekend at the fairgrounds, Flo. You take both the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks and the Louisiana Derby. You do the Fairgrounds Oaks aboard Bonnie South and then come back with Wells Bayou in that Louisiana Derby. Just tell me about those two victories and you know, those two horses. How good were those performances?
They were very good, you know, both of them. We were very proud of the horses. And honestly, both of those horses, you know, we like them. You know, they both were working great. Bonnie South, you know, maybe a little more of a surprise, you know, for, I think, like, outside of people, you know, racing fans, you know, and better and viewers. But we were not that surprised, you know, with his team, you know, with Brad and his team. The filly was working great. Last time she was able to beat a filly named Cedar the Double, who came back and won the Honeybee in Allen's race at Auckland. So I'll give you a better line and a speed figure, you know, on some of the stuff, you know, we are using, you know. She ran pretty fast, you know. You know, obviously that was, you know, a filly of Steve Asmussen, Finite, which we respect, you know, very much. But you know what, sometimes, you know, horses can run off race, you know, but we are hoping, you know, to win, but we are more looking, you know, for second and trying to get some black type with her. But it worked out good. At the end, she was able to extend her stride, you know, the last eighth of a mile, and she drew off, you know, pretty easily.
Yeah, it was a good performance. And then you come back with Wells Bayou, the son of Looking at Lucky, who wins for the second time here in 2020. Tell me about that win.
Well, him was a little bit easier, you know, game plan and going to the race. You know, actually, we all talked together, you know, with the connection. It was, you know, his owner, you know, Brad and myself, and we all agreed, you know, to go run in the Louisiana Derby. Distance was a mile 316 instead of running in rubber. Just because, you know, pace-wise, you know, there was a horse, you know, like Nadal, who showed speed, you know, going 7-8. Won great stakes, you know, in California. There was a horse of Tom Amos named No Peril, who showed a lot of speed also, and that was us. We didn't want to be hooked in a speed duel and couldn't see anything. You know, sometimes you get hooked and you don't know if you really belong in those kind of races or you just, the pace just killed you, you know. So we just all went, you know, for losing a derby. Looked like it wasn't much pace, you know, going into the race, and it was not much, you know, actually when we ran. And he drew a very good post, and from there, same thing, you know, he's a very sharp horse, you know, from the gate. Just the plan was, like, to go on the lead, and if somebody really wanted it, you know, just probably let the other go. But I didn't see myself, you know, farther than first, second, or third, you know, for sure.
Jockey Florent Giroux here on HRRN. Flo, there have been some riders, including Irad Ortiz Jr. and Rajiv, who stepped away and then came back. Irad has chosen not to ride because of the concerns with the coronavirus. But how about for you? You decided to keep going. Did you ever consider saying, hey, you know what, I need to take a break for a little bit?
Yeah, honestly, you know, the kind of things, you know, you think about all the time, especially the last few days, you know, here at Gulfstream. You know, we, management and jockeys and everybody involved, you know, racing, we'll try our best, you know, to stay, you know, very aware of the situation. With the coronavirus, we're wearing gloves, you know, mask and all kind of stuff and try to keep, you know, the social, you know, distancing and stuff. It's hard, you know, I have some riding commitments, you know, especially last week at the Fagon was the biggest weekend of my season over there. And there are some horses ready to go and I just feel just was a little bit unfair, you know, for the connection to step away, you know. And this weekend I have another racing commitment, you know, with 8 Indian, you know, so I'm a little bit tired there, you know, but after that, you know, I might take a little bit of a time off, I think, but yeah, I mean, it's like it's a little scary out there, but you know, we are trying our best, you know, to make it work.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about different racetracks enacting different protocols with the jocks room, trying to make it a safer environment and comply with what the Centers for Disease Control has recommended for everybody, you know, around the world. What's it? Take me inside the jocks room at Gulfstream now. What have they done, and what was done at Fairgrounds too, to make this a safer environment?
We try to spread the jockeys as much as we can. We were all together in the same room, And now we are all spread out a little bit because, you know, we have the whole building, the whole facility for ourselves, you know. So, but we need to stay, you know, somewhere in the ridge, you know, near the paddock, and you know, because we need to weigh in and weigh out, you know, of the races, you know. So we need to, and we need to get changed, and so we cannot be like all the way, you know, up in the sixth floor, you know. But no, everybody is very spread out. Actually, if you see me today, I'm kind of near the saddling area. Wide open, everybody see me. It looks like I'm camping over there, but whatever works, you know.
Are you comfortable with the way that things are being done right now for jockeys?
Yeah, I'm comfortable, but, you know, like I said, you know, government and other people, you know, higher than the racetrack are making it more difficult, you know, for everybody. And I just feel it's hard. I mean, it doesn't matter how much we all want to run and, you know, we have to keep our job. Our hands are very tight, you know. And sometimes you have a 12-horse field, you keep, you know, social distancing. You have 12 groups, you know, leading the horses. You're going to have, you know, the valet, you know, selling horses. It's already 24 horses, 24 people. You have a couple of grooms and, you know, hot walking and stuff. It is 30 people already together, you know. We are just keeping it, you know, the minimum. It's not like I'm not even counting the trainers and assistant trainers and stuff like this. Well, most of them, you know, not there.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program that Javier sent out a tweet saying that he had tested positive for coronavirus. He is now in self-isolation for the next 2 weeks. He feels fine. I texted with him last night. He said he's doing just fine and just hoping to get this behind him. He was asymptomatic all along. What's the reaction from fellow jockeys when they hear about a guy like Javier Castellano testing positive?
Well, first of all, you know, I felt bad for him, and I asked him, you know, right away how was he feeling, and of course he was worried, you know, about, you know, his family, you know, because he's been with them, you know, and especially his mom, which is the one who's living with him here in South Florida, and she's a bit older. So his first thought, you know, was more, you know, about, you know, his mother, his wife, and his kids, you know, that's what just come in his mind, you know. He doesn't want other people to get sick. But no, I mean, I've talked to him too. He's feeling good. Like I said, you know, he went jogging and stuff like that. He's physically doesn't feel any symptoms. But like I said, you know, it's very contagious, and, you know, just even him, I'm sure he was aware of the situation and tried to do his best not to get the virus, and he just caught it. So.
Yeah, well, Flo, listen, these are crazy times and unprecedented times. Get through today safely, and then continue to stay safe and healthy, my friend. And I can't thank you enough for taking some time here this morning.
Well, you're welcome.
One good bit of news, my friend. You still have 161 days till the Kentucky Derby now, so you got plenty of time to decide on which horse you're going to ride.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, some of my horses are still around, you know, in September, so that's, I would have been a little more comfortable having it in May this year. But you know what? Hopefully, look like it's still going to happen better than canceling, I guess.
Yeah, it might be your mount for the Breeders' Cup Classic too. So you might be thinking ahead to a couple of races. Appreciate it, Flo. Stay safe, my friend, and safe trip out there.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Florent Giroux here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I mean, we can go on and on about what's happening here in the world and what's happening at Gulfstream Park and around the country with tracks that are still continuing to run and the jocks rooms and all of the different things. And Flo did a nice job of laying out the situation. I mean, yeah, he feels safe, and yes, they're separated, but he also went on and said, but there's a whole bunch of people involved here that are all involved interacting in some form or fashion, some way. And you talk about Javier Castellano. Yeah, his family, he was home in New York with his family. Asymptomatic. But as we know, you can still spread the virus even if you're asymptomatic. But he was there with his family, and he said his mom was living with him down in Florida. You know, always concerns there, but let's get through today safe and sound, and hope everybody has a good trip and stay safe, and then we'll deal with it after this Florida Derby today. But my thanks to Florent Giroux for being with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to get to a break. I'll come back and get you set for the second half of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
power.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 and 4 fifths, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire, and buyers agree. At the recently concluded OBS March sale, a 2-year-old colt by Anchor Down breezed in 9 4/5 seconds, selling for $270,000 to John Ford. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Golden 60's a length away. He's the only danger. Player Del Puente, still a length. Golden 60. He's running out of time. He's coming now. Golden 60 drives. He's won it.
Golden 60, the son of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro, won the $2.5 million Hong Kong Derby on March 22nd, and in doing so, he becomes only the second horse to sweep the four-year-old Triple Crown. He has now won 10 of 11 lifetime starts, and he is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch. He is equaled only by Mr. Prospector as stallions who have sired 7 American Grade 1 winners in a single year. And no stallion can match his $16 million yearlings since 2016. Learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Top of the stretch, less than a quarter of a mile to go. It's Corey Gall off the turn under Edgar Prado with a 3-length lead. No Save Vende is flat to the boards, and Champagne Bliss is third. Final eighth of a mile. There have been a lot of rangemen throughout the racing world that have never come close to a milestone victory that Edgar Prado attains today. It's win number 7,056 for Edgar Prado. Corey Gall is a 4-length winner. Champagne Bliss is second. Finishing third was No Save Vende in 111-1. Cordero is tied by Edgar P.
Pete Aiello with the call. That was a claiming race at Gulfstream this past Wednesday. Race number 3, Corey Gall under jockey Edgar Prado. And you heard Pete say equaling Angel Cordero Jr., 7,057 career victories. That was short-lived. And you're going to hear more about that story coming up in just a few moments. Of course, Edgar came back the next day, Thursday, and won a race at Gulfstream. So he is officially tied now. But if you go by what we were thinking on Wednesday after he won with Corey Gall, he would technically be one ahead of Angel Cordero Jr., but not the case. They're tied. And again, that story coming your way in just a few minutes. Edgar going to be with me, 9 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. Barkley Tagg took the time to visit with Bobby Newman on Red Brand Radio this week. His interview talking about Tis the Law comes up at 9:20, and then we'll wrap it up with Bobby joining me to handicap the big races at Gulfstream at 9:40 Eastern time this morning. I told you at the top of the show that if you ever wondered who would win a race that included the likes of Secretariat, Seattle Slough, Spectacular Bid, Affirmed, American Pharoah,
you name it, so many other great Kentucky Derby winners that we've seen over the years. Well, you're going to have that opportunity to find out on Saturday, May 2nd, because we thought, hey, there's no Derby, but we need to do a broadcast that day here on the network. We always broadcast the Kentucky Derby. So we're going to put together a full broadcast of the HRN Fantasy Derby. First one ever, 5 Eastern, Saturday, May 2nd. We're going to put together a field of the greatest Kentucky Derby winners of all time, which will be determined by your votes and the votes of those in the industry. All you have to do is go to our website, horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby. That's horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby to cast your vote for your favorite Kentucky Derby winners. Do that now and help us determine the field. And it's pretty simple. You just email your selections right to me, mike@horseracingradio.net. But you have to go to our website to do it, because there's a list of Derby winners to choose from. And there's a spot for you to give a write-in vote if your favorite Derby winner is not among those horses that we selected to be part of the field. It will be a full 20-horse field, and it's going to pit all the greatest Derby winners against each other. Should be fun. The HRN Fantasy Derby, that broadcast, what was going to be Derby Day, the first Saturday in May, on May 2nd. All right, going to get to the second half of the program. It kicks off with jockey Edgar Prado. That's next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming real quiet. He's a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One wheel. Looked impossible.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the inside, on the Connick board, on the outside, Soul of the Manor, and here he is, the unconquerable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar!
And here it is, the 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on this 28th day of March 2020. In case you're wondering, that means we are now just 161 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 20 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. Saturday, September 5th, the first Saturday in September this year. Still trying to get used to that. The first Saturday in September, the Run for the Roses, we will be there. Is your official radio home of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown here in 2020 in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. So happy to still be part of that coverage for you and looking forward to bringing it your way. If indeed we do run it on September 5th, we'll be there. And I told you at the end of that first half of the program that we are anticipating a big field for the HRN Fantasy Derby on Saturday, May 5th, and you can vote as to who you think should be part of that field. No doubt Big Red starting to get a lot of play, and he's going to be one of them, but is he the greatest of all time? It's all determined by your vote, so go there right now, horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby. Edgar Prado, the Hall of Famer, who is a 3-time Florida Derby winner, is going to join me here in just a moment. As a matter of fact, we have him on the line now, so we won't make him wait. One of the classiest guys that you're going to find in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and now tied with fellow Hall of Famer Angel Cordero Jr. for 8th on the all-time wins list among jockeys. Edgar, good morning, my friend. Edgar, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Thanks for taking some time here this morning, bud. Look, it was funny. I reached out to you after you won that race on Wednesday at Gulfstream, and I said, hey, congrats on the milestone. Would you be willing to join me on the show this week to talk about it? And you sent back a tweet or a copy of a tweet that said, hey, I it looked like I won it, but then Equibase found something in their records that said, no, I'm still one behind Angel. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see that. You know, somebody find out, Equiways find out, and they send it to a friend of mine, and a friend of mine sent me that information. So good thing I didn't quit as a reason.
Yeah, it actually moved you back to 7,056, so officially one behind. And it was weird when you. Here's
no,
what the, I'm going to read.
I tied because I won Friday, the last week on Friday. Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. So now you're officially tied. But it was funny because you tied. They took it away from you, and now you're tied again, which is wonderful.
Yes.
What's that mean, Edgar, to equal a guy like Angel Cordero, eighth all time?
Well, like I said before, it's an honor to tie a legend like Cordero. He's been respected for so many of his peers, and he's been a great for the sport for many years. Tie with him, you know, it's a very, very good honor to be.
Edgar, you kind of got off to a fast start when you burst onto the scene and you were winning races left and right, and you knew that Edgar Prado could really ride. And then here you are in this position today. But did you ever imagine that you'd be sitting here in 2020, eighth all-time in number of wins?
Well, I know you have to dream big to achieve something big. So I always wanted to accomplish something better than the day before. So I was working hard to do that, either winning in Doro, New York, or Florida. I tried to accomplish something. You know, I first tried to accomplish my first 500 winners, then I went, let's shoot for 1,000, then shoot for 2,000, and so on and so forth. And when at the moment, it was impossible to reach 7,000, I just continued to work hard and keep riding and keep winning. When I reached 7,000, I said, well, why not 7,067, you know, trying to reach Cordero. And so important, now we just keep moving. Hopefully, after all ordeal with the coronavirus, we can come back to normal and start racing again.
Yeah, you're now 52 years old, Edgar, one of the senior members of the jockey colony. What still motivates Edgar Prado?
I don't think it's it's a word that can describe the feeling of winning. Being on top of the horse and you and your horse against everybody and everybody against you. The thrill to win, the competition, you know, the moment that you go through, the reaction. I think it's not a word that can describe that feeling. I think you have to do it to know how great it is. You know, I've been doing that for so many years, and I feel like I still have the same trick when I run my first race.
Yeah, you know, so many great athletes, yourself included, Edgar, in every sport, they hate to lose. They have this will to win that oftentimes even overcomes any kind of a talent deficiency. You have talent, and you have the will to win. Is your will to win still as strong today as it's ever been?
I think if you will to win is greater, defeat will never reach you. I think you just keep continuing to work hard and try to be professionals. And, you know, don't sleep on your laurels. I mean, think whatever you do yesterday is done and trying to accomplish something better tomorrow.
Do you find, Edgar, that there are times in certain races that all of that experience that you've garnered over the years actually helps you to win a race? Is there something to be said for that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and sometimes I break it slow, and instead of rush the horse, just take my time, save some ground, just see how the race develop in front of me, trying to save some ground and trying to make the right move. You know, I just trying to don't make another mistake that already happened because I already broke it slow, so I think that's because of the experience, you know, been riding for so many years, and just put them in practice when you ride. And so many other things, you know, how try to relax the horse, how to try to take ground, kind of how you feeling the horse in the post parade, you know, if the horse needed extra warm up or you see the stay nice and quiet. So all those you learn with experience with riding, you know? So can you put them in practice and hopefully you make the right decision when you ride.
How much longer are we going to see Edgar Prado in the saddle?
Well, we don't know yet because I stopped riding Friday and today and tomorrow until things get better outside. I'm just going to stay with my family and hopefully this thing goes away sooner than later and you see me again in the track. So I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm trying to stay in good shape and ready for the opportunity that comes. I think it's, the longest I have a good chance to ride good horses and keep winning, I stay around for a little bit longer.
Well, you're 8 wins behind Perry Utz, who's next on the list is at number 7. So there's something to keep in mind if you're looking for a little extra motivation, but it doesn't sound like you need it.
No, definitely. No, we're going after him, and hopefully momentum keep going, and we go from there.
Talking with Hall of Famer Edgar Prado here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Edgar, when you think back on all those wins, what are some of the moments that immediately come to mind for you, moments in your career that you're just never going to forget?
Well, definitely my first win in Peru. You know, I was riding, I was looking for my first win, trying to get a sensation, get a feeling, how it feels to win a race. And when I win the race, oh my God, this is the end of the world. And I was so excited, and I was so happy, you know, and the winners keep on coming and coming. And then I moved to the United States, and definitely my first win in the United States was great, too, because I was looking for a new beginning and a new place. I was so excited, so happy that I got my first win in the United States. And more winners keep coming up, and I was very happy and so blessed that God gave me this beautiful gift to ride horses. But when I went to Kentucky Derby, you know, it was indescribable. I mean, it was no words that could I say how great I feel, how happy. And it was a bit accomplished and delivered that win for my family, for my friends, the people that I left behind in Peru, and they're watching me winning that kind of race.
He's as good as it gets. He's Hall of Famer Edgar Prado here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Edgar, listen, stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, you're always a class act and always very gracious with your time. So I appreciate it, my friend, and congratulations on that milestone. Let's go get up to number 7 next.
Thank you so much. Let's All work right. on it.
All right, Edgar Prado here on HRN. He is our Industry Star of the Week this week. Who better to be our Industry Star of the Week than Hall of Famer Edgar Prado? This segment brought to you by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. Stuart wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his entire team. His success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including the likes of Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. All you have to do is visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales coming up this summer and fall. Boy, Edgar Prado, and when I say that, I mean, I talk about a few people like that they are all class, and there are a lot of people in this sport that are like that. Edgar Prado is right at the top of the list. And the cool thing to me is here he is, 52 years old, and he talks about the desire that he still has to win a race. When I asked him what still motivates Edgar Prado, and to hear him say that thrill of winning, that feeling you get when you win a horse race. And I've asked that same question to fellow Hall of Famer John Velasquez in the past, and it stands out to me because Johnny gives you the same answer. That feeling of being on the back of these majestic thoroughbreds and winning a race, it's like a drug. I can remember I asked Johnny that question after he was injured in the Breeders' Cup. I want to say it was his spleen. I could be wrong, but I want to say it was his spleen. And he was out for a while. And I said, Johnny, listen, you have a beautiful wife, unbelievable family. Surely you've been responsible with your money, and he has. Why keep doing this? Why keep coming back and putting yourself at risk? And when you ask that question of a guy like John Velasquez and any of these top jockeys, they will tell you it's like a drug, the feeling you get from winning a race. And I can tell you, just on the ownership side of things, owning pieces of a few horses, and I've been fortunate that all but one has gotten to the winner's circle, there is no feeling like it, even standing on the sideline. So I can't imagine being aboard that horse and what that must feel like. But according to every jockey, and you just heard Edgar say it, that's what drives them. That's what motivates them. And Edgar, again, a three-time Florida Derby winner, won't get the chance to compete in that race today because his mount was scratched. If you missed that in the first half of the program, he was supposed to be aboard Soros for Gustavo Delgado, but Soros ran yesterday. He finished fifth in an allowance race at Gulfstream. Edgar wasn't aboard him yesterday. That means that Rogue Element draws into the Florida Derby field. He was the only also eligible. Trained by Dale Romans, owned by Calumet. He's a maiden. 0-3. He was second in the maiden race last out, but he'll get a chance to run today if they choose to do so. Trainer Barkley Tagg is in the next segment. He took the time this week to visit with Bobby Newman on Red Brand Radio and had a chance to talk about the morning line favorite in today's Florida Derby, Tis the Law, who has been just so, so good. Hasn't run since winning the Holy Bull, but he talks about that with Bobby in our next segment, and then Bobby will join me right around 9:40 to handicap all the big races, including that Florida Derby. Stay with me. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Warfront. This son of Danzig ranks among the world's elite sires. With Grade 1 winners on dirt and turf, and star performers both at home and abroad, Warfront's success as an international super sire is unmatched. Recent Grade 1 winners include Omaha Beach and Preakness Stakes hero War of Will. In the auction ring, Warfront was the number one sire by highest average at Keeneland September, with yearlings commanding prices up to $2.9 million. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Atiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Unanimous champion two-year-old and three-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to eight times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Bred on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharoah, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, Ride the Rails, and Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Tis the Law is in front. Less than a quarter of a mile to go in the Holy Bull. Tis the Law sets sail under Manny Franco and moves to a three-length lead. Ette Indian is back to second, well clear of Toledo Turf in third with an eighth of a mile left to go. Tis the Law shifting ground to touch. He's down toward the inner rail, but he's in front. Ette Indian is game, but he's only second best to Sacatoga Stables. Tis the Law, your Holy Bull winner. Second is Ette Indian. They were a mile clear of Toledo. Then Restless Dancer, Mayberry Deputy uncorked the bottle and clear destination.
Once again, Pete Aiello bringing them home. That was in the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream. Tis the Law, a powerful victory in his three-year-old debut. We'll see him in action as the morning line favorite in today's Florida Derby. Again, if you're just joining me, coverage of the Florida Derby comes your way here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning at 5:30 Eastern. It's all presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Myself and Bobby Newman will be live 5:30 to 7 o'clock, albeit remotely, but we'll be bringing you that coverage here so you don't have to miss any of the action. That broadcast also includes the Grade 2 Pan American and the Grade 3 Appleton, which are the two races preceding the Florida Derby today. And, of course, we'll take you all the way through Gulfstream's signature prep race. The poll question today, and so many of you taking the time to vote, appreciate that, at HRN on Twitter. Who are you taking in today's Florida Derby? Pretty simple. And we gave you a few choices. Tis the Law, the favorite, Independence Hall, Ette Indian, and other. And if you choose other, please specify. Well, so far, Tis the Law, no surprise here, running away with it. 46% of the vote coming in for Tis the Law. Some of the write-in votes, Gouverneur Morris. That's an interesting horse. Gouverneur Morris getting a write-in vote from Chris. And then somebody here say, well, not betting it, but Tis the Law going to lose at 2-5. So picking against them, but no definitive pick there. But Gouverneur Morris, the one horse that maybe outside of those top three you have to take a look at. And he has Florida Derby winning connections, by the way. His trainer, Todd Pletcher, the all-time leading trainer in the history of the Florida Derby. He's won it five times. That's unmatched. His first was in 2007. Can you name the horse quick? Now, maybe you got it. Scat Daddy in 2007 under Hall of Famer Edgar Prado, who you just heard from just a few moments ago. He came back in 2014, won it with Constitution, who, by the way, extremely well represented with his horses today. Then he won it the next year, 2015, Materiality. Came back with the Derby winner Always Dreaming in 2017, and then Audible in 2018. So Todd looking to add to that record later today. But no doubt about it, Tis the Law is going to go postward as the favorite. And earlier this week, his trainer, Barkley Tagg, took time to visit with Bobby Newman on Red Brand Radio. And here's what he had to say about Tis the Law.
Barkley, this is a horse who's accomplished so much thus far. Tis the Law, he's 3-4 in his career. He won the Grade 1 Champagne at Belmont last year. He was third after some trouble in the Grade 3 Kentucky, or rather in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club over a sloppy track at Churchill. Took a little time off, came back, looks better than ever, won the Holy Bull impressively. Share your thoughts on his win in the Holy Bull. He won that race by some three lengths.
Well, he just seems to take everything in stride and do everything easily. And, we thought he could probably win it, and he did. So he's pretty nice.
He just he seems to be nonplussed about most things. Nothing, you know, he doesn't let anything bother him. He just gets out there and does his job. Unfortunately, he lost that Kentucky race because it was a horrible night and a horrible track, and he got squeezed pretty good there and didn't come out of the gate well. He kind of slipped coming out of the gate or something. I couldn't really tell. But, you know, they're just horses. Can't everything go perfect all the time.
When he won the Holy Bull, it was roughly 2 months ago, the 1st of February. He's been in the news since then. He had a little bit of a hoof issue or a leg issue. Tell us what happened and what's been going on in the 8 weeks since that Holy Bull victory.
Yeah, you know, he pulled a shoe one time during a gallop, and I don't know whether it was during the gallop or after the gallop or hacking home or hacking out there or when it was. But anyway, it kind of got a bruised heel out of it, and you know, we just had to back off on him. And we kept trying with him. You know, we didn't want to give him too much time off or anything like that, but we had to just keep going back and forth with him. We lost a little time, but he's all better now. He's in good shape, so we're pretty happy with him.
Many people around the country, horse racing fans around the world, consider Tis the Law to either be the favorite or one of the favorites at this point for the Kentucky Derby. But we know the Kentucky Derby is not the first Saturday in May anymore. It's now the first Saturday in September, Labor Day weekend. Is it a difference? Is it more frustrating to see the Derby move to September when you have a horse like this that many people think is actually the favorite at this point?
Well, when you only get one every 20 years, you don't want other things to go wrong, but that's life. And I wouldn't trade him with anybody, so we'll just have to see how he does. The hardest thing is to fit him into the races as they put him on. I'd like to make the setup myself and have them all go to it, but it's not going to work that way, I'm sure. So it just, you know, they're going to be more mature horses in the Kentucky Derby this time than there are any other time. And this horse has matured early, and I thought he would be a really good shot in the Kentucky Derby. But you never know now. It's just a lot of things can go by now. So we will see.
This horse, owned by Saratoga Stable, of course, same owner and trainer connections as Funnyside, who both won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness back in 2003. The road to the Derby and whenever the Preakness could be this year is obviously different, Barkley. With the change in dates, how does it change your strategy? What will you do differently now if he happens to run a good race on Saturday?
Well, I don't know what to do. We'd probably, if things just stay like they are, we'd probably have to go out to Oaklawn. But if they got around to it and changed it all around and put the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes back in order somehow, I'd have to really consider going that way. We just have to see how it works out anyway.
Since you and the ownership group of Saratoga Stable have already been down this road, what are the biggest differences now compared to 2003? Back then, when you were training Funnyside for Saratoga Stable, he was not getting quite the hype as some of the other ones around the country. I think Empire Maker was all the rage back then. Now, Tis the Law is, if not the favorite, certainly one of the favorites and the more well-known three-year-olds coming in. And if he runs well on Saturday or wins the race on Saturday, he'll stamp himself right at the top of the list. What are the differences now with a very, very strong three-year-old looking at the Triple Crown races, hopefully down the line, as opposed to back in 2003?
Well, Funnyside, you know, had three easy wins in the fall. They were New York bred maiden race and then two little stakes, and they were very nice. But it was nice, to win them, and it was great for him. But then he lost his three prep races for the Derby, and I thought he ran well in the second two. The first one, you know, had a lot of problems in that, but we still were pretty high on him, and I thought he ran a great race in the Wood Memorial, and he was just beaten a little bit. But that race, he always had a habit of taking a little bit of a breather, and he didn't take as much of a breather in that race, and he came back pretty strong. He was only beaten half a length, so I was still hyped on him, and fortunately he ran a great race in the Kentucky Derby and won that, and he came back and won the Preakness decisively. So, you know, we liked him from the very beginning, and we were disappointed that he lost those three preps. But, you know, they were excusable. There were other good horses in there. It wasn't like he was the only good horse in there, but he did come back and get the job done in the Derby and Preakness. So we were pretty happy with him. He was a very high-strung horse, a little different than this horse. This horse is a little bit temperamental, but he's not as high-strung and nervous as Funny Side was. So that makes it a little bit easier to handle him. We're very happy with the way he's coming along.
Is there any difference in what your plans are or what the owner's plans are going down this line with a colt as opposed to a gelding? Of course, Funny Side famously won the Derby as a gelding, whereas Tis the Law is a full colt. Any difference or when you're thinking of plans down the line?
Well, there's a lot of difference because it's a lot of money on the line for a colt. There was not much money on the line for a gelding. So it's been very interesting with the offers and things like that. I don't want to go into all that, but it's a different game. But I think he can handle it all. He seems like an amazing horse to me. It's just nothing seems to really bother him or get in his way, and he just does it. So we're pretty happy to have him.
I don't think anybody could blame you for that. Once again, Barkley Tag joining us. Thank you so much for being with us on HRRN. We wish you the best of luck. Tis the Law, the morning line favorite in a full field of 12. Saturday's Grade 1 $750,000 Curlin Florida Derby goes as race 14. Barkley, best of luck on Saturday and in the future with Tis the Law.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, interesting stuff from Barkley Tag. My thanks to Barkley for joining Bobby this past week on our Red Brand Radio show, which, by the way, you can listen to that show with Bobby and Anthony every single Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern Time. Just head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the schedule for all of our talk shows. We're going to continue as much as we possibly can to bring you all of our talk shows as scheduled throughout the week and as much of our race coverage as we can. As long as they're running the big stakes races, we'll do that for you each and every week here on the network. And again, Florida Derby coverage comes up 5:30 Eastern Time this afternoon. Sirius 219, XM 201, worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. Tis the Law. I mean, look, this is a horse that you heard Barkley say. He feels like he has matured maybe even quicker than most of the other three-year-olds. That's why he's on top of the list, obviously. But he has matured beautifully to this point. And when Bobby asked him if it's more frustrating for him to have the Kentucky Derby moved this year, sitting here with the favorite, Barkley was very candid. He said, yeah. He said, you can't do anything about it, obviously, but it is frustrating because you have a horse like this who you pick him out as a yearling, you start breaking him, you start getting into all of the training as a two-year-old, you start to realize this horse is special, you watch him grow, you watch him mature physically and mentally, you get him to this point where he is the top-ranked horse sitting here on March 28th, and that's all well and good with the Kentucky Derby being on May 2nd. Now, as Barkley alluded to, the whole picture changes with the September 5th Kentucky Derby because all of the other three-year-olds that are currently behind Tis the Law in terms of their development now have time to catch up all summer long. So Tis the Law, even though he may still be the top-ranked horse if we get to the Derby on September 5th, and he may still continue to get better, but now all of those other three-year-olds that are further behind, even horses that are running in maiden races right now, three-year-old maiden races that typically wouldn't even be in the Derby picture, all of a sudden they are. And that's another interesting wrinkle to the whole Derby picture now. You have to start watching these maiden races. It's a lot like backing the clock up to their two-year-old campaigns. That's where we are right now, at least in terms of a timeline. So you have to watch those maiden races, and you see some of those horses that burst onto the scene winning a maiden race. And again, if the Derby's May 2nd, they don't even they're not even a consideration to make the field. Now all of a sudden they are, and they could be one of the horses to beat on the first Saturday in September. We'll see if Tis the Law can continue to take the next steps along that road to Louisville later today in the Florida Derby. And again, we'll have that coverage for you 5:30 Eastern here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to get to another break when I come back. It is your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment for this Saturday morning, presented by Spendthrift, and a visit with Bobby as he looks at all the big races coming up at Gulfstream later today. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Catch year-round world-class horse racing whenever you'd like from North America's premier thoroughbred horse racing destination, Gulfstream Park. With the championship meet in full swing, join us Saturday, March 28th for the Grade 1 Florida Derby as the top three-year-old thoroughbreds compete for their chance to be legends. Feel the heart-pounding action up close with viewing from the rail or enjoy within the comfort of our trackside restaurants. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for more information. Gulfstream Park thrills at every turn.
Adena Springs bred, raced, and developed Awesome Again and Ghost Sapper into important stallions. Now comes Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, bred, raced, and backed by the strength of Adena. A Hall of Fame runner like his sire and grandsire, Shaman Ghost captured the classic Queen's Plate at 3 en route to his Sovereign Award Championship. At ages 4 and 5, Shaman Ghost made cross-country history as the only horse in the past 30 years to capture both the Woodward Stakes and Santa Anita Handicap.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
Shaman Ghost would go on to earn over $3.8 million with repeated success at the highest level. Additional graded wins include the Grade 2 Brooklyn Invitational, the Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special, before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome, went second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, standing at Adena Springs, Kentucky. Look for his fantastic first yearlings at the sales in 2020.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Around the far turn, it is still Wildcat Red. General A-Rod a half length behind. Cairo Prince being sent along. Constitution is going to get through an opening on the inside. Here he comes, bounding through on the rail. Constitution up the rail with Javier Castellano. Head and head with Wildcat Red. On the outside, General A-Rod. Cairo Prince, it's Wildcat Red. Constitution, head and head. Wildcat Red, Constitution, won a Florida Derby, and Constitution has won. He beats Wildcat Red. General A-Rod was third, and Cairo Prince was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, operating remotely from my home studio this morning. My producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and Chauncey, who handles all of our social media, back in his home studio as well, monitoring all your tweets, and appreciate everybody for tuning in this morning. That was the voice of racing on NBC, Mr. Larry Colmus, with the call of the 2014 Florida Derby. Constitution, with a big victory that day for trainer Todd Pletcher, one of his five victories in the race. That is a record. I told you that earlier. Todd sends out Gouverneur Morris in this afternoon's Florida Derby, He has a couple of horses, actually, but Gouverneur Morris is son of his Florida Derby winner, Constitution. Constitution stands at Windstar, and he is also represented by Independence Hall and favorite Tis the Law. Yeah, he's done pretty well to start his stallion career. Wondering, by the way, if Gouverneur Morris, Independence Hall, and Tis the Law will all be among the top five in Bobby Newman's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds, which is presented by Spendthrift. Let's find out.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
Fairgrounds in New Orleans held their signature race last weekend, the Grade II $1 million Louisiana Derby. This year's renewal was held at a new distance of a mile and 3/16. It was a full field of 14, and on paper it seemed as though Wells Bayou, New York Traffic, and Modernist might all show speed, possibly setting things up for any of the talented closers. But that's not how it played out. Wells Bayou, who was sent off the slight favorite, made the lead easily under Florent Giroux while setting a very moderate pace. New York Traffic was content to sit just in behind the leader, while Modernist tracked from fourth early on. When they reached the top of the stretch, all three had plenty of closing kick, but it was Wells Bayou kicking best and going on to the wire-to-wire score. New York Traffic ran a game race to be second, with Modernist getting up for third. They earned 100, 40, and 20 Derby points respectively for their efforts. Final time was 1:56.2. Today, Gulfstream Park holds their biggest race for three-year-olds, the Grade 1 $750,000 Florida Derby, and it may be the most talented group of three-year-olds we've seen square off so far this year. The Barkley Tag trainee Tis the Law is the 6-5 morning line favorite off his impressive score in the Holy Bull Stakes in February. That day, he defeated Ete Andion by some three lengths, and that one came back to air in the Fountain of Youth 4 weeks ago. They both look to have big shots today, but will have to deal with South Florida newcomer Independence Hall. We last saw him finishing second as the big favorite in the Sam F. Davis at Tampa, but he had a few excuses that afternoon and could give the top two all they can handle if he fires today. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Spendthrift Farm is at it again, now offering breeders our best incentives yet, including deep discounts on young stallions and proven stallions. And for the first time, 30 days paid boarding at the farm of your choice so that you can breed your mare to a stallion from the most diverse roster in North America without the burden of boarding costs. Serious deals on serious stallions, only at Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm. Call today to learn more, 859-294-0030, or visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one is Authentic. Undefeated for trainer Bob Baffert, won the San Felipe last out, should run in the Santa Anita Derby next weekend. Number two, Honor AP, second to Authentic last time out. He's also pointing for the Santa Anita Derby. Number three is Independence Hall, suffered his first defeat in the Sam F. Davis last time out. He runs in the Florida Derby today. Number four, Tis the Law, should be favored in today's Florida Derby. And number five, Maxfield, nearing a return to the races, possibly in the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn on May the 2nd. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Well, as you heard me mention a few times throughout the program, 161 days away from the first Saturday in September and the Run for the Roses this year. To be exact, 161 days, 9 hours, 6 minutes, and 50 seconds until the horses go into the starting gate. And joined now by the man you just heard in that Calling All Three-Year-Old segment, Bobby Newman, who will be part of my broadcast team this afternoon. Bobby and I will bring you coverage of the Florida Derby starting at 5:30 Eastern Time. That's presented by Red Brand Fence and the FTBOA. Bobby, one thing that struck me as I was listening to your top five list in this week's edition of Calling All Three-Year-Olds, Tis the Law, who is the favorite on most people's lists, was actually ranked number four in your Derby rankings.
That's true. And another thing about that top five list is, since we recorded that yesterday before Santa Anita made their announcement, we don't know where Authentic and Honor AP are going to show up next, since they were going to run next Saturday in the Santa Anita Derby. But yes, I have been a big fan of Independence Hall all along. I think he had some excuses last time out at Tampa Bay Downs in the Sam F. Davis. I think he's capable of a lot better than that. And his best races I think, make him the one to beat, actually, in the Florida Derby today.
You mentioned in that segment that this may be the most talented group of three-year-olds we've seen in any one prep race. And, you know, some of the horses from the West Coast may argue that because we've seen some good ones out there. But, yeah, when you get Independence Hall and Ate Endeon and Tis the Law together in one race, you have to think that this one's pretty salty.
It is very salty, and obviously it's a mile and an eighth, which we haven't seen from most of the other three-year-olds thus far. There are some others in here besides those big three that are exciting horses. Gouverneur Morris has really done nothing wrong in his three-race career, two wins and a second-place finish, and that second-place finish was to Maxfield, who at the time people thought was, a lot of people thought that was the most impressive two-year-old race of the year in the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland back in October. And Maxfield, if not being the favorite, would have been the, maybe the second choice in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile if he not suffered a minor injury. But it's a great field. You've got some up-and-comers in there. And then, as seen on TV, he's never run a bad race in his career, and he gets the advantage of the inside post today with Paco Lopez, who seems to win races in bunches at Gulfstream. It's really a very talented field, and happy that not only we're going to get to see the race that we're actually racing at Gulfstream, but it's a beautiful day here in South Florida now, and it may actually get to about 90 degrees.
Oh, wow. Summer-like conditions in the South Florida area today. And again, post time for that Florida Derby coming up at 6:36 Eastern time. I mentioned, Bobby, our coverage begins at 5:30. It also includes the Grade 2 Pan American and the Grade 3 Appleton, which are the two races preceding the Florida Derby. Any thoughts on those two races and who might jump up with a big effort?
I think they're both very interesting races. The Appleton, which goes as race 12, will probably have the shortest price on the afternoon with Zulu Alpha, who not only was an impressive winner of the Pegasus World Cup Turf back in January, but came back with a great win from way out of it in the McDermott last time out. There's not a lot of speed in the race, and there's a horse that intrigues me is a horse that Zulu Alpha beat in the Pegasus, and that's number one, Channel Cat. I thought Channel Cat has always been better laying up close to the pace, if not on the lead. I think with an inside post in a post in a race with a lot less early speed in it, that's what we're going to see jockey Joel Rosario do with Channel Cat. Also intriguing, and we haven't read anything about this, but don't forget that the Pegasus races, all of the entrants, both in the dirt and the turf, had to run without the medication Lasix. Now, we don't know if anyone bled in those races. We don't know who absolutely needs Lasix and who doesn't. Obviously, it did not hurt Zulu Alpha. Maybe it hurt Channel Cat. I am just guessing. I don't know. But I'm willing to give him another chance, and he's down on the inside, 9-2 on the morning line. I think he would be the best chance of upsetting the apple cart in the Pan American if Zulu Alpha weren't to win. The 13th race, the Grade 3 Appleton, wow. This is a difficult race to handicap, and if you're playing pick fours, pick fives, or that mandatory payout pick six today, if you have a strong opinion in here, more power to you, because to me it looks like a total spread type of a race. The favorite will probably be the Todd Pletcher trainee Sambayer for Luis Saez, who I think has won 10 races in the last 2 days at Gulfstream Park. Saez has ridden this son of Into Mischief several times in the past. He looks like he's getting better and better, but it's not a layup for him. There are several other very talented runners, and I know on my ticket, I'm spreading.
Yeah, I guess you kind of have to, especially if you're playing that mandatory payout. This is a good day to play it. I mentioned the carryover of $1.6 million going into today's card, but they have to give it all away today, Bobby. So if you're putting together a ticket, you mentioned spreading in that race, how do you approach putting together a pick six ticket like you're going to have to do today?
Well, these days there are so many very competitive races. You really need to find one or two races that you can narrow it down, at least in my opinion, or you're going to be spending a lot more money than you really want to spend. So for me, I've got the race that I really like and that I'm going to single is race number 11. It's the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks. These are three-year-old fillies. They're going a mile and a 16th on the main track. And the second choice on the morning line is number 5, Spice Is Nice, another Todd Pletcher trainee. This one was supposed to be ridden by Javier Castellano. As of now, I do not see any changes for the card. So I don't know who's going to pick up the mount on this filly. She's very, very talented. She's ridden twice in her career, broke her maiden very impressively by 12 lengths. And off that dominant score, she was actually sent off a 3-5 favorite in the Grade 2 Devona Dale, despite the fact that she was facing Tonalist Shape, who was already 4-4 and a multiple stakes winner. So I think the odds were wrong that day. The public got it wrong. Spice Is Nice ended up running second to Tonalist Shape, only beaten a little over a length. I think she's going to improve leaps and bounds, not only stretching out going around two turns, but being that this is just the third start of her career, there's a lot of pace in this race. I think she'll sit just in behind them. 3-1 on the morning line. Spice Is Nice is where I would single today. And then I would go from there. I could spread in some other races. I may narrow the Curlin Florida Derby down to 2, maybe 3 runners, because I honestly think that both Tis the Law and Independence Hall are a tad better right now than what we've seen from the others. So I don't know if I would just use those two, or maybe throw in one more like Gouverneur Morris. But that's the way I would go, single in that race, 2 or 3 in the Florida Derby, and then kind of spread around that and hope I get lucky.
Bobby Newman with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You'll hear more from Bobby this afternoon as we kick off coverage of the Florida Derby, 5:30 Eastern Time, Sirius 219, XM 201, Hank 96.1 here in Lexington, and ESPN 680 in Louisville. Other affiliates around the country also carrying that coverage. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check it all out. In the last segment, Bobby, we heard your interview with Barkley Tagg from Red Brand Radio this week, and I touched on this. One thing he talked about, which I thought was interesting, is the fact that he feels like Tis the Law has matured maybe quicker than many of the other three-year-olds to this point in the season, and that's why he's the top-ranked horse, and that's what you're looking for if the Derby's on the first Saturday in May. Now he has to hope that he can continue to be above all the others by the time we get to the Derby on September 5th. I thought that was interesting.
It's going to be very tough, and it's unlucky for horses that are maturing at the exact point when the Derby is supposed to be, that it gets moved back. But you know what? That's just the way things are. Unfortunately, the world was turned upside down a couple weeks ago, and everyone is suffering in some way or not, whether it's financially or just being a gigantic distractions in their life. And when you have horses like Tis the Law, or maybe Authentic out on the West Coast, that are basically fit and look like they're peaking right around the first Saturday in May and now have to wait 4 more months, it's unlucky. You look at the other side of it, though, you have horses like Maxfield for trainer Brendan Walsh, who are coming back from injury. Now they have the extra time. They could be back in top form by the time we get to the Derby. How about Bob Baffert's Charlatan? This is a horse who's only raced twice. He broke his maiden super impressively. He won an allowance super impressively. He may not have had enough points to get to the Derby the first Saturday in May. He's got plenty of time now to try to get there the first Saturday in September. So the picture has changed. It's very unfortunate for the connections of Tis the Law, but hopefully he will be as good then as he is now, or even better when we get to September.
Yeah, so many questions that will have to be answered, including the prep race schedule that these horses will put together as they move closer. Churchill will have to announce the revised points races that horses will need to compete in as we move throughout the summer. It's going to be crazy. Bobby, listen, appreciate the visit, my friend. Thanks for spending some time this morning, and looking forward to our coverage later this afternoon.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
All right, Bobby Newman here on HRRN. Going to get to one final break. I'll come back and wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Spendthrift Farm is at it again, now offering breeders our best incentives yet, including deep discounts on young stallions and proven stallions. And for the first time, 30 days paid boarding at the farm of your choice so that you can breed your mare to a stallion from the most diverse roster in North America without the burden of boarding costs. Serious deals on serious stallions, only at Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm. Call today to learn more, 859-294-0030, or visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The National HPPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HPPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HPPA is doing for you.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coes can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion Anchor Down. A son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire, and buyers agree. At the recently concluded OVS March sale, a 2-year-old colt by Anchor Down breezed in 9 and 4 fifths seconds, selling for $270,000 to John Ford. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
A reminder that inside the March 28th issue of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet, you won't want to miss these feature stories, including Lane's End Stallion Manager Billy Sellers and At Every Step, Florida-based horseman Barry Berkelhammer, thrilled with the development of his young horses, and of course, Smart Move. That's the third big story in this week's edition. Equistar Farm, home to Pennsylvania hero Smarty Jones. You can check all that out in this week's edition of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet. Download the free Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Blood Horse Daily has the largest subscriber base of any thoroughbred industry electronic daily newsletter. Get started right now by going to bloodhorse.com/daily. Well, my thanks to everyone who helped make this show possible this morning, including jockeys Florent Giroux and the Hall of Famer Edgar Prado. Trainer Barkley Tagg was part of this show. He joined Bobby on Red Brand Radio this week, and we played that interview for you. And, of course, Bobby just a few minutes ago joining me from his base in Florida in advance of our coverage of the Florida Derby later today. Big card at Gulfstream. Huge card today. I mentioned all the races, 14 races. The Florida Derby is the 14th and final race on the program today. The mandatory Rainbow Six payout, $1.6 million carrying over into today's pool. Going to be a lot of fun. Don't forget that you can vote for your contenders, at least the ones you feel should be contenders,
for our HRN Fantasy Derby. That broadcast coming up Saturday, May 2nd, which would actually be Derby Day this year. We're going to present that Fantasy Derby. Head over to horseracingradio.net/fantasyderby to learn more and to cast your votes today. You have until next Friday to do so, and that's going to be a lot of fun. A fully produced broadcast pitting the greatest Derby winners of all time against each other, all determined by your votes. Thanks to everyone who took time to weigh in at HRN on Twitter with our poll question today. Tis the Law, an overwhelming winner of that one. Everybody expecting that he'll strut his stuff and get the job done later today in the Florida Derby. Well, my thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studios, Chauncey, for handling social media. I'm Mike Penna. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, go Steelers.